Rockies 102.9, The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew exhilarates and quenches with its one-of-a-kind great taste. Mountain Dew, this is how we do.
Now it's time. I had to do the time. Now go.
And now, coming to you via clear 21st century technology.
As sports tryouts continue.
Frank Caliendo.
Frank.
Hey.
What's up, guys? I'd like to apologize to Rogan Shoes in advance for my lack of sports knowledge. I spent the last 3 minutes looking at ESPN.com trying to come up with some topics for you guys, and then Bob started talking and got me sidetracked, and I've got zero sports.
But, Frank, think about how many athletes forayed into broadcasting without knowing anything about broadcasting.
I tell you what, I can't think of one, guys. Can't think of one.
Right. If someone in the entertainment field ventures into sports, hey, turnabout is fair play.
Yeah, welcome to my life, guys.
Now, if you notice, Frank,
and we know you're a good ball player. You played some baseball.
Right, you've seen me rake. Seen me slug the ball.
You.
Hold on. 1988 AAU All-American Wisconsin All-Stars won. Well, at the same time, the 18 and under team led by none other than Craig Counsell beating the Hawaiian All-Stars. And we hung out with them for a total of 7 minutes. But my brother Rico used to throw batting practice to Craig. I don't know if I've told you that every time.
There you go. That's as much qualifying as you need.
Right.
It gets you there.
I remember sitting in Mike Hegan's Grand Slam, which was where I worked. It became Mike Hegan's Field of Dreams later because I think they didn't want to pay royalties to Grand Slam anymore. but it taught me a lot about life, actually, that job. Great job to have. But I remember Craig, or as I like to call him, Craigers. I didn't do that. Just like I don't call Charles Barkley Chaz. But for the stories,
sure,
we're going to say that.
It makes a better story.
So, yeah, I like to lie. And like Bob. So
it's a cottage industry, Frank. Come on.
I know. I've seen the website.
Why wouldn't you lie when you...
It's way more fun. Without lies, there would be no television shows. Because everybody has lies in TV shows and tries to figure out how to get out of it. And that's how you get a Netflix show. So Craig Counsell sitting in the office at Mike Hegan's Field of Dreams at the time.
1988? Are we still 1988?
Oh, no, this is probably in the 90s. In high school, maybe a junior. And I'm saying stupid stuff like I'm saying right now. And Craig's just staring at me. And I'm like, what's wrong? He goes, I can't tell if you're joking or not. That was just I am joking. I'm being a dork right now. Okay. And then he started doing more analytics or something. I don't know. But it was just that surreal look of him just staring at me. And here's the other thing about Craig is I remember all the other minor league guys around the Milwaukee area would always talk about Craig's never going to go anywhere. Everybody was like, his dad works in the Brewers organization somewhere. And then he was going to Notre Dame and people were like, he's still not going to be anything. And then all he did was practice and work hard and create a weird batting stance. And he's the person I always use when kids come up to me and talk like I'll coach flag football or any of these other sports. I'll say, listen, I saw Craig Counsell. Everybody said he didn't have the tools, wasn't good enough. He worked harder than everybody else, and now he's richer than all of us.
And that's
second place manager of the year in voting. How do you feel about that?
He was robbed yesterday.
Bob says the award means nothing because Counsell didn't get it.
Yeah, I hadn't looked at that part of ESPN.com yet, guys.
So, oh, yeah, because I interrupted. No, I'm sorry, yeah.
Yeah, let's keep using that.
Well,
yeah.
he was
you interrupted, I'm lazy. One of the two.
He was second in the voting for it.
That's pretty good. Who won
Braves manager. What's his name, Rock? I forget it. Not even. See, I've already erased it from my memory.
Snitker.
Wow.
Snitker, yeah.
And what did they? I don't even know. I think the Brewers did something different than anybody. Has anybody ever seen pitchers taken out in the second inning before? That's
the bullpen games.
That wasn't the whole season. That was as we got into that last 20 games of the regular season, and you had to win.
And that's they only reported on. Guy. They were in third place beginning of September.
Were they behind the Cardinals and the Cubs? And you know they go to the extra game down in Chicago. Yeah. They win that. You know, your bullpen's depleted. You're starting. You know, your starters. You got to win this game. I can't leave them in too long. That just kind of turned into what it was, and it worked. Until you know the Dodgers came along.
Yeah,
if we'd have had some bats, that would have been fine.
Yeah, it just became that struggling time, and Dave Roberts didn't start pulling his bad calls, I guess, or his bad moves until he waited for the World Series for those.
So. Yeah, well, do them on the big stage, you know.
Now, yeah. Brian mentioned. Brian mentioned that you're coming to us in crystal clarity with state-of-the-art technology.
Yeah, I just got this this box that just – I had the older school technology before that brought me into your lives. Started raising –
Wow, that sounds important. That sounds
right. I'm just trying to – I'm throwing words together hoping. If I did as Morgan Freeman, it works better.
There you go.
And that's when I realized that this sounded better than it could have – in past technological eras, as those penguins marched across the Arctic or the Antarctic, we aren't sure how we even got to that. So I just got this thing. I had my brother research a bunch of stuff because I just try to find reasons for my brothers to work because they're employed by me.
Right, and, they're on the payroll.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's like a posse, Frank.
Yeah, yeah, and if there's one thing I consider myself, I'm very similar to a rapper.
Yeah, I think you've gone beyond that to impresario. Yeah. You know, like Suge Knight.
Impresario, isn't that like also what people call impressionists? Like, am I? I've heard that.
I
before.
I think that's a big you know producer of shows like who's in the Empire series?
Dick Wolf, or
can you even say that?
Thank you, 30 Rock. Can you even say that, Dick Wolf? But you put your brother on it, and he works for you.
Yeah, and he figured it out.
I hope you guys can keep this thing on the rails, because earlier this morning we were talking about Jimmy Dean and his brother, Don Dean.
No.
Do you know this story? Jimmy Dean, the sausage king of the
sausage
world?
Sausage king of Chicago?
Yeah, who passed away back in 2010, but Carrie didn't know that he had a recording career before... You know, the whole sausage thing popped up.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Big John.
You know, he had his own TV show. He had the Muppets on his TV show.
Really?
Yeah. Jimmy Dean was a big deal. I can't believe that this is news to people.
No one knows this.
So, anyway, Jimmy.
Jimmy Dean's. Yeah. Okay. So that'll explain the commercials.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Jimmy Dean, his brother, apparently was an executive in the company, and it went south in a hurry because his brother Don sued him several times for defamation to the tune of like a couple $1 million. And Jimmy was told, do not talk about your brother.
Well, did you ever hear those stories about Dane Cook? Like Dane Cook's brother worked for him and stole millions of dollars.
Dane Cook stole from everybody, so it doesn't matter.
Well, here's the other thing. Here's the other thing. His brother, before working for him, worked at a prison.
What?
His brother worked at a prison. And he hired him out of the prison. I think he worked at the prison.
Right, like a guard or a cook or whatever. Yeah. He wasn't an inmate.
Yeah, I think he ended up an inmate, but it was literally millions of dollars, and to not know that you're losing millions of dollars is crazy. So, but then again, I have my brother doing the books, and his name is Rico Caliendo. So,
who's your bookkeeper?
Didn't Robin Yount's brother?
I think it was bad investments. I don't think he was stealing from. I think
money?
It just.
Yeah.
But I think that worked out in the end because it was a lot of land they bought in Phoenix, and they actually sold it when Phoenix really took off.
Yeah,
I don't know. Ask Robin next time we have him on.
Hey, how are you and your brother getting along?
Is it more like Dane Cook and his brother, Jimmy Dean and his brother, Frank and his brother?
Yeah. So, so hopefully it goes smoother than that. So your brother got all this hooked up just at the last minute.
That was the other
night.
Brother, Terry. Terry got this all hooked up. Yeah, okay. He figured out. And I texted Eric last night, and said, thinking he wouldn't get back to me because I didn't know this was going to get hooked up. My computer guy was working on something for some podcast stuff, and I had this Comrex box, which hooks up to the radio stations, and he hooked it up. I texted Eric and said, hey, can I test it? And I'm thinking tomorrow, and he's like, I'll check with our engineer. And then engineers never seem to get back to anybody. They're always very busy doing engineer stuff. But Tim, what's his last name? Dieter Ding.
Yeah. Dieter Ding. Our engineer, yeah.
He was super nice guy.
Kinda call sounds him like up. A phone, you know? Yeah.
I call him up and I'm expecting him to just talk down to me. Like, I believe that everything you're doing is totally unacceptable.
Right.
But he was super nice, walked me through it. I told him I was an idiot at the beginning and it was pretty simple and we just hooked it up. So I was excited about this.
And it was like plug and play. And here you are.
Absolutely. This is the play part.
All right. So let's talk a little football. They had a game scheduled in Mexico. They're going to play Mexico City. It was going to be the game of the year.
Which, how do you feel? I can't stand the, personally, I don't like the international games. I know they're trying to grow the game around the world because the NFL isn't making enough money. and they have to find a way to get new sources of revenue.
Yeah, get some yen. Get some pesos.
Euros. Right. So they don't have to do the conversion. They can just get the actual money from people.
Yeah.
So they're going to play in Mexico at, I believe it's Azteca Stadium. Is that? Let's look it up. Because, again, I didn't get to it.
Yeah, it is. It's I'm getting the nod from Rock. It's Azteca Stadium. Very good. You've done your research, Frank.
Yesterday, two days ago, they deemed the playing surface not good enough,
right.
I guess, to play. Isn't this something they should have looked into a while ago?
Boy, here's an aerial view.
Well,
check out your monitor there, Bob.
Yeah,
it looks like I played golf on it.
It looks bad. Wow, how bad is your golf? This looks
pretty
awful.
And I use really big clubs.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I don't think your golf game is as bad as you say, because I watched you hit baseballs, and baseball players and hockey players are usually pretty decent golfers.
I have the same swing, Bob.
Yeah,
I don't change it for golf.
All right, that could
tilt it a little.
It's still a hacker.
this is a bad looking
field. It looked bad in the news reports.
But how do they not know that? I mean, look at the field. How do they not know that a couple weeks in advance? You think that happened overnight?
Well, they had a Shakira concert there.
Well, maybe it did happen
in the last couple of days. From what
I think, all those dark spots is like urine.
I don't know what those are. I don't know what the dark spots are.
Shakira, folks, just couldn't.
I don't know how.
El baño es más lejos.
I don't know how they configured the stadium.
I don't like to get. I don't want this month this taken politically, but it's just too easy. You think Trump's sitting in the White House right now or on Twitter getting ready to go? I told you, this cannot get. It's just not getting done. Look at the way they're treating these fields.
It's a horrible field.
It's a horrible field. I'm sure there are very good fields there too.
There are a lot of good fields.
But let me just say this: you cannot put our players here. This is about safety. That's the other thing is, like, it's always about safety. That's what the NFL always comes back to. We'll play Thursday night football, but we want to have it safe. But it's always that safety issue. And then they want them to go travel across. I mean, your body clock, just getting on a plane to fly 2 to 3 hours. But to go to London, I've had friends who are, either on teams or coaching. It's the worst. It's brutal. They're playing at a time, 9 o'clock in the morning, 8 o'clock in the morning, our time. It's just not normal to them and throws them off completely. And they expect these games.
When do they leave for those European games? They don't.
We're going to get there right on game time, man.
Yeah.
We're going to get there 15 minutes before. We're going to do calisthenics. And I tell you what, Gruden comes to Arizona this week to play the Cardinals.
Put that one in the W column then.
Yeah, there's pretty good shot. But I haven't heard from him for a while. And I feel bad because I've become friends with him. And maybe it's a thing where he's been brilliant and keep your friends close, keep your enemies closer. But I feel bad because so many things, it seems so bad for him. That I don't just want to be out there like ripping them all the time.
Does that dynamic change when they, he goes from being just someone in the booth and, you know, you knock those guys around all you want, but now he's a coach and
it's bad. And he's people already piling on him, and knowing him makes it more difficult as well. But that, you know, if he was winning and saying ridiculous things, that's one thing, or even 500 and saying ridiculous things.
Yeah.
But he traded a pass rusher, the greatest pass rusher in the game, to the Chicago Bears. And 2 weeks later, he's going, you know, what we need is a pass rusher, man. Like, and I think he's doing it on purpose, because nobody would be that. Like, how oblivious would you have to be to
that? Would be like playing a game in Mexico on a field where they can't.
See, I can work the voices in anywhere. This field was completely unplayable. Not like the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field.
It looks bad. It looks really bad, Morgan.
You could have climbed through 500 yards of the sloppiest looking football field beside of Mexico.
I heard legitimate arguments yesterday on, you know, the Sports Yakker shows going, we play on baseball fields. What? This can't be worse than having to run across an infield.
I disagree.
Really?
This looks really swampy. This looks really bad. Like, just like 4 inches of mud there.
How do they not know that? And to wait this long in the week, I almost called them the Broncos. The Rams went to Denver to Colorado to go train for the week because of the not the atmosphere,
the elevation,
the altitude,
which is technically atmosphere.
Yeah, what? Yeah,
true. It's just used a bigger word.
Listen, Sonny, it all comes together. So they went. They're actually there right now, but they're playing a home game. So it's, I don't know. It's really quite weird. I just don't understand how that means they were doing everything they could to hope that the game was just played there, or they just weren't telling us, and everybody else kind of knew. Maybe the Rams knew, and maybe the Chiefs knew. And then people were complaining that, Chiefs fans were complaining that it's a home game for the Rams now. Well, it always was a home game
right.
for the Rams. They were giving it up to play internationally, which makes, again, no sense at all to me, because you have no home field advantage, and that's the biggest thing in the NFL.
They just got, you know, the team back, and, you know, they should collect all the advantages of having a team in your city instead of farming it out right away.
Brian, they have the Chargers, which nobody goes to see, but they're a really good team too. I don't know. It's everybody. It's just like everybody just keeps giving.
And what if I have a ticket to the game? We were talking about this earlier. Now, I said the NFL will refund you. I'm sure they have something in place, but.
No, they're keeping it.
texters are saying, no, read the back of the ticket. And the way the ticket reads, it says basically if you're from Mexico and you have tickets to the game, you can't get a refund, but
what?
You have to go to L.A. to the game. You still have a ticket if you want to go to L.A.
Now you're going to see a caravan.
No kidding. Yeah.
Listen, that's why people are – that's what they're trying to tell you. On MSNBC, they're trying to tell you that they're coming here for the game. That's not what it's about. That is not – it's about better football fields.
Wait till those guys get to the border and say, no, jobs, no, asylum, no. I just want my ticket
game.
Refund.
Yeah, we're here for the game.
MAGA, make AstroTurf great again.
In the Coliseum, I don't know if you've seen the Coliseum. That's not that great either.
I don't know. I haven't seen it, so.
Between USC and the Rams, it's getting a lot of use, and I don't know if it has other things they have going on there, you know, during the week.
Maybe a concert.
Yeah, right. It is L.A. It's a busy place, but they do have a lot of venues.
Yeah, they got something going on. I don't know. I don't know. I just the international games bother me in the first place, because I know I asked a friend of mine who's an executive. I said, what would you rather do, play Thursday night football or go to London? He said Thursday night football easily. He said it's so hard. Everything just to get everybody out there, culture's different. There's no routine. Brutal to go to London, and I don't know.
They're not really changing safety thing. Time zones by going to Mexico City. It's a longer plane flight, but it's not like
no. It's 1987 there. No, I don't know. You're right about that. The time zone's not that one's not as big of a deal. I don't think. I actually don't see a. I'm just making a bigger deal out of it, the Mexico one. But the field is ridiculous. But the London game, and if they played, have they played anywhere else? Have they played in China or something?
Tokyo. They've played games in Tokyo.
Yeah, I mean,
in the NFL, I know we have in college ball. I don't know if we played there in the. Maybe we have. I can't keep track of all the games.
Do you remember when it was? I know this is going to make me and probably anybody who feels the same way felt really old. But do you remember when it was just simple and you played in our little communities?
Well, here it was as complicated as it got. They had, you know, Green Bay and Milwaukee.
Right.
Which I'm sure nobody outside of our area understood. Right. Why are we playing in Milwaukee? It's the Green Bay Packers.
How many games was that a year? Was that
3 or 4?
You had a preseason and, what, 3 regular season games? We're only playing 5 games a year in Green Bay, if I remember correctly.
God, that's crazy to think about that. I knew that, but I'd forgotten that they used to play in Milwaukee.
In the seating was horrible. You were so far from the field. It was just terrible. And the field didn't even really fit inside a county stadium. The one corner of the end zone ended in a dugout, I think, didn't it?
It was a little shaved off.
Yeah, if I remember correctly.
You know, I've never been to a game at Lambeau. Can you believe it?
Really?
No, I've never.
That is a little surprising. I mean, yeah. you're a huge Packer fan.
That's part of what this sports cast is about, is surprising you guys with my lack of.
Well, you're the
fanhood.
Last. I thought the last guy I knew had finally gone to Lambeau this weekend. My brother went to a game. He lives in Michigan. He's been to plenty of games in Michigan to see the Packers, but he came here to see him at Lambeau Field.
Yeah, I've been invited even by coaches in the past, but I've been really busy, guys. even players. I tried to get my son out there one time, but there was always a conflict with the school stuff that my kid has to go to or whatever. But TJ Lang, when he was with the Packers, I became pretty good friends with him, and he's like, you got to come out to a game, and I'm just kind of an idiot.
And there's really 2 Lambos you could say you visited. I mean, if you went to the, you know, the green sheet metal
right
version
before the renovation,
that's one thing, completely different now. And if you went during the construction, that would be like a third experience. But yeah, there's a couple of different places to punch that card.
Yeah, I don't know. Some things we miss, things I should have done.
How many games?
Well, you're still living, Frank.
Oh yeah, forgot. Right. I'm so fun. That's how lazy I am, though, guys. I didn't come there. I'm doing this from my house, sitting in my office.
Frank, living with regret. Well, you're still alive, Frank. You still have
a
chance.
That's a big
to
part
go.
Of my life. I just realized that I'm not. This isn't a movie. I'm not in heaven looking down.
Yeah, a lot of regret. A lot
so much
of
I could
regret.
Have done.
Exactly.
So much I could have done. Yeah. Earthbound, Bob and Brian.
How bad is this Gruden hire going to turn out to be? Because they're 1-whatever.
I don't.
You got
think
the
it's
owner.
A,
you got the I, owner saying this is my fault.
Guys, it's my fault. I didn't.
Did I ever tell you that story about meeting him?
No.
Mark
Davis.
Mark Davis. So I did the event for the owners, the NFL owners, the team owners at the Super Bowl in Minneapolis last year. The hardest thing in the world is to try and perform for billionaires because they don't care, right? They don't care what I have to say. I'm doing this for the check. I know it's going to be terrible. They say, ladies and gentlemen, Frank Caliendo. Nobody even turns around at their banquet tables. I've got to try and win over an audience yeah. of billionaires.
What's your
Mark
commonality
David,
with them? You know.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Hey, it's you ever been to Walmart? I own the competitor. Don't talk about it. What do you do? There's nothing that we can talk about. So you guys done? Hey, you ever iron your money?
Well, I mean, that was Tim Allen's tool bit. He said that. He just started talking about hardware one day, and the audience that had been ignoring him kind of turned around, and that kind of launched that thing. But what do you do with a crowd of billionaires.
You ever get a dent in your Bentley? That's a Dentley, right? Who hasn't had a Dentley here, huh? You know, and then you got it. Then you don't have access to the shop. You got to take your jet to fly it to somebody. You got to rent an aircraft carrier. So who hasn't had to rent an aircraft carrier here?
So what? I've done pretty well, but so Mark Davis is in the back corner, and I'm doing Gruden just to get him going. And apparently, he's saying stuff I can't really hear him because none of the other owners care about Mark Davis either. And so I go up to him and I kind of apologize afterward. I'm like, sorry, I'm messing with you. I was just trying to find some type of commonality here. And he goes, can you believe I paid John Gruden $10 million a year? I'm crazy. No, you're TV Lenny. That's who you are.
Right.
Wow. That's exactly what it felt like. It's like, and you get with this, you're going to get a free VCR.
Well, he inherited the team.
Right.
Basically.
Yeah. But he was so nice, and he was so – I just – because he doesn't look like he would be nice.
The haircut.
The haircuts. He and Gruden, they sharing a barber. What's going on? We did a sketch at the beginning of this year for ESPN. My brother ended up playing the guy. We had a blind barber cutting Mark Davis's hair as he was talking. But we didn't acknowledge it. We didn't say anything. You just see a barber looking off into the stars. As he's trying to cut Mark Davis's hair. But he was super nice, and I was not ready for it. But that whole thing was, he's like, you got to come and do John Gruden for the team. I'm like, and this is, again, last year I said, you guys will probably have had enough John Gruden. You're not going to need two guys going, I'll tell you what, man, we're going to be better next year, man.
Sure, you can satirize a guy who's really successful, right? But
yeah, Belichick's easy. Anything he does, you want to mock him because he just keeps winning. You can call him a cheater. You can do all this kind of stuff. But nobody's cheating and losing, right? Well, maybe some. I mean, if they are, they're really bad cheaters.
That's possible.
But I don't know. That's the difficult thing with the Gruden thing right now. I think it'll turn around. Some of the guys I've talked to there is they just felt like it was you either – do overhaul the whole system at the very beginning and know it's going to take a couple of years. When you have the guarantee that you're going to be there for a while, if you have that job security and you're like, let's just do it my way from the beginning. Look at Hugh Jackson over in Cleveland. It was like, well, I hired these other guys on. I probably should have done a lot of this stuff myself and just decided and made the. And I've been there in my own life. I don't know if you guys, I think you guys did it the opposite way, which is the right way. You guys did and just said, if we go in, we're going to do it our way. And if we fail, like everybody would tell you guys, you're going to fail doing it your way. We need to get in a bunch of people to tell you how to do your radio show. You're like, well, we'll just show up and talk. That you can't do it that way.
Took a while to get to that point.
Yeah.
But you knew to get there, and you knew that's how you got there. And that's when you, I think, really blew up was you were yourselves. But when you go in, I've been in jobs like when I had a deal to do a sitcom a couple of years ago, and we got
was there really, a goofy neighbor?
I wanted to be the goofy neighbor on my own show.
Servant,
yeah,
house cleaner or butler.
Was there a kid who always got the best of you at the end of the show?
That would be a Disney Channel program.
Okay.
where the little girl always is smarter than everybody, and the parents are the dumbest people ever.
Were you excited about this sitcom?
Yes and no, because it kept changing. They were like, at the beginning, they were like, okay, we want it to be whatever you want it to be. Perfect. All right. I want it to be all about my life at home, a little bit about doing the impressions on the, and going on talk shows and doing that kind of stuff, but more about home life and just a little bit about sports. So my sports audience, people that know me from that stuff, from the NFL and Fox and ESPN, get it. So they're like, okay, cool. As it became, they're like, can we, we'd have a phone call a month later. Can we do less in the house? Can we see less of your wife and more of you as John Gruden? Like, okay, well, that's not what we said. You said it could be whatever I wanted it to be.
Yeah, we were looking at the scripts and things. just a little less homey.
A little less about you. more yeah. about the people you do impressions. Hey, can this show about you be less about you? Well, then it's going to be less about me. You got it. Hey, no, I don't know what the other guys are saying. You're not being smart, Caliendo. You get it.
Right, so we're all on the same page. Dad. Less of you. Less
yeah,
like
less
you.
Less of me on the me show.
Yeah.
But I wanted it to be about my family and my the interaction of my wife and me and how all that kind of stuff with the kids. And the first thing that the writer said when we got, who was a very good writer, but he didn't have kids, so he didn't want to write about kids. So I was like, but that's kind of how my life is. My kids come in and mess stuff up. My son's playing Fortnite. I don't see him for a week. You know, he comes back, he's got a really bad mustache, and he's 14, and I got to teach him how to shave, something like that. You know, something that's real.
Do you have a limit on Fortnite at your house?
We cut it off during the week because.
Okay, so Friday they can play Fortnite through
Sunday.
Through yeah. Sunday, is there as much as
day.
They want? As much as they want.
Yeah, he plays NBA 2K more than he does Fortnite now. Until the NFL uniforms came out for the for Fortnite this week, so then he started playing Fortnite again a little bit. But I wrote a bit about it for my stand-up act because I hadn't seen him. For a couple weeks, he comes out of his room. He's like, what is that? I'm like, daylight, man. That's what that is. He's like, where's my sandwich? And I didn't know you ordered one. What are you talking about? Where's my sandwich? And he can't talk to another human being. My son, when he's talking to somebody, he won't look him in the eye. He'll shake his hand. He's like, okay, and he looks down. It's like everybody has a bad toupee kind of thing, and he won't look at him directly. But then you get him on the Xbox headset. He's like, we will form in a 2x2 formation. This is a code red. This is an emergency. Like, who are you, the Army General from Toy Story? Who is this guy? So my son can talk to another human being while not looking at them, which is harder to do, in my opinion, than talking to somebody face-to-face, looking them in the eyes and reading body language
and
stuff.
In your world, that works.
I guess, yeah. I
not,
just realized
so
that I'm
his
not
world.
Normal.
Right.
Yeah, his room. I mean, could you imagine how much better the kids would be at school if it was a video game, you know, if they all had screens they were staring at and not looking at the teacher?
Well, they're sort of incorporating that, aren't they? I mean,
I don't know. I don't pay attention to my kids' schooling.
We're all just going to be slaves to screens if that's the case.
It's cool. Well, how about the guy marrying a robot or a hologram? That's in the news.
What now?
You didn't hear about that?
No.
Google that. Guy marries hologram.
Dude marries hologram.
Yeah, I think it's a Japanese guy, and I think it's in Japan, which would explain why he's Japanese.
Right.
It's but
love it, in another dimension. Japanese man marries.
Are you guys finding out that I'm speaking the truth?
Oh yeah, Sume yeah. There's the story.
Miku hologram.
Yeah. Read all about it. The hologram's not even, like, of age.
His mother didn't come to the wedding because she thought it was crazy.
Because, Brian, let me tell you, that there is no wedding to marry a hologram. That doesn't exist.
Well, her she should have just been projected in, guys.
Wasn't something to celebrate, said the soft-spoken 35-year-old whose bride is a virtual singer named Hatsume Miku.
She's anime.
Wow.
Get right. Exactly.
Well... here's the picture. This is what, yeah, anime. Big eyes and blue hair.
Yeah, stuffed. It's a stuffed doll, is what it is. But I love her. And if you and I tell him it's wrong to love a stuffed doll, then we're the bad guys. Yeah.
Oh, I've never cheated on her. I've always been in love with Miku-san. He said.
I've never cheated on her because nobody will talk to you.
Wow.
Yeah, 35 and I married a doll.
And that's the Rogan Sports Report.
You know,
all right.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, before you go.
In crystal clarity.
Tomorrow night, Packers in Seattle. How do you like it?
Oh, yeah. They'll win by 100.
Packers by 100.
Packers by 100. Aaron Rodgers. I love this guy, man. How do we? We got Derek Carr. Drive him off. Bring Rodgers in, man.
How do you like the new booth over at ESPN, Frank, without John Gruden?
I find that, without trying to be mean here, because it does take time, but when Jason Witten explains something, I find myself more confused after he explains it by about 100%.
How did you feel about Romo
I actually
liked Musburger's criticism of him?
What was that last part?
Pre-Brent Musburger's criticism of him, where he was telling him to not
knock it off,
blow the play.
Yeah.
Because he was doing reads from the booth.
But don't people kind of want to see that?
I did.
I liked everything. It's been... I gotta tell you, we had Musburger for a sketch, and he backed out of it.
Really?
So I'm tainted on the Musburger. Did we keep going so long that the exit song is almost done?
No, it's we're okay. You're okay. Got a minute or so.
What was the question? Oh, the Romo. I enjoyed Romo because he was kind of Brett Favre-ish, where he was the kid having fun talking about the game, like the way Favre played the game. You watch him, and. You listen to him, and he was, like, so excited about everything. He would give away stuff, and then it would happen about 80% of the time. I thought it was great. I really liked it.
When I saw how quickly he could read something from upstairs from the booth, I thought, how did he not win 8 championships? He can see everything that's happening.
Well, because I think when you're looking at it ground level, it's not the same as looking down on it. When you can look down and see where everybody – and there's no pressure. You guys ever try to answer a trivia question?
Like now? You mean like now?
But like you do trivia questions, you do Trivial Pursuit with each other and just ask the questions because you're too lazy to get the board out.
Sure.
Too many pieces of pie, can't find them. Yeah, so you just read the questions.
Right. It's like, I don't need the board. Let's just do the questions.
Let's just do it for fun. You're great. But as soon as you go into Final Jeopardy in the game, you're like, I can't, like Brian just said, I can't think of it.
Did you hear Alex Trebek's pet peeve speaking to Jeopardy?
No.
He came clean about things that bug him on Jeopardy, and his number one gripe about Jeopardy is when people jump around to categories.
He he likes to clean them off?
He doesn't like it.
Well, maybe
he likes to go
strategy.
In order.
Maybe someone wants to clean up all the fun. Go across.
That's what I said. Well, that's a strategy. You bounce around.
Not for Alex Trebek.
No.
All right, Frank. Thanks a lot for hanging with us this morning.
Yeah, I thank you guys for letting me do. What I really wanted to do, I think I got across to the audience, sports.
When are you coming back to town?
I don't know.
All right.
Eventually.
All right.
After this, I don't know if I'll be invited back.
Stay in touch, Frank.
Definitely.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
Frank Caliendo on sports this morning.